You don't have a dick. You got an appendage. You got some skin from your freaking your wrist that looks like a flaccid dick. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Like, you can't even pee out of it.
Frankenweiner. That's what it looks like.
All I saw was like stitch marks around like the shaft and like two bolts coming out of its neck. That's what it's afraid of fire. yeast infection not going in there.
Welcome to the All American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
And welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke, with my beard, heterosexual, Jewish, bearded life partner, Josh, sitting across from me, operating those controls like the pro that he is. I want to say sorry for the late show, but y'all don't pay me, so it doesn't really matter. No, I woke up this morning, had a bunch of farm work I had to take care of. We got four new chicks last night, or yesterday. Woke up this morning, one was dead. I have no idea what it was. So I had to move the little mini coop that I have and put it in the garage to make it a little bit warmer in there. They have the heat lamp already. No idea what killed it. Probably stress. They're in a new environment. So moved into the garage. And then I had to clean out the chicken feeder. And I didn't realize that there was, I was looking for chicken scratch because I mix it in with the bigger pellets and stuff. And I found like there was some mildew under it inside at the very bottom. So I started scooping that out to clean it out. And it is the most disgusting smell I've smelled in a long time. Like, dude, I was like, ugh. And then I had to go wash my hands. And, bro, I've used Clorox. It's still not coming off. Like, you want to smell this?
No, I do
you
not.
You should smell this. No, you should no. totally smell this. Bro, you're a bro. Bro's got to smell bros.
I've never heard of that one.
It's a thing, dude. It's a thing. Oh, my God. What's going on, Rumble? What's going on, Twitter? What's going on, YouTube? What's going on, Facebook? What's going on, Kick? Oh, man. You know, hey, if you're tuning in, do that thing you know I like. You know I like it. You know I like it when you do that. Hit that share button, retweet, whatever you got to do. Make sure you go check me out on Kick. I'm going to start doing gaming streams again, and I'm only going to do them on Kick, though. I did it on Rumble to let people know, but also, is everything good?
No
yeah,
sound?
Yeah, no, I think it's showing on my end. Yeah. Maybe it's just got to refresh probably. But no, it's, I'm going to do a lot more game streams on Kick now. And, Rumble said that they're not going to be rolling out an app sub button, until spring. And I'm just kind of like, good to hear, but it's just like, you know,
isn't it spring?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we should be. Yeah.
So soon then.
Yeah. Hopefully. But it's like, dude, what's taking it so long? Like, that's going to be one of the massive things to help content creators, but it's because also they have locals, but locals takes them to an entirely different app. And it's like, dude, it's not a good setup. I've told them this, whatever, but I'll be doing, more gaming streams over on Kick. Matter of fact, we're on Kick right now. If you've not checked it out, go give me a follow over there. I greatly appreciate that. Thanks for everybody that supports us on Kick. Because people were like, I want to subscribe, but there's no place to subscribe. And it's like, they're not wrong. And that kind of, you know, aggravates the shit out of me. Because it's like, this doesn't incentivize content creators that want to get supported for their work. If you want to even call this work, I have no idea. I call it sitting on here bitching, but people like it for some reason. But here's the link. It's kick.com/John Burke. Download, and it's free. Now, if you want to subscribe, you can. It's, yeah, check it out. But, yeah, I don't mind supporting Rumble, but it's like, dude, I kind of feel like outside of ad reads, there's no incentivization here as far as fiscal. There's just not.
I mean, it's free speech platform. Mm-mm. You have to worry about getting kicked off. Yeah,
but at the same time, though, where can people go to support your work? Like, you know, Daily Wire and the rest of them have the paywall. People support their work and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, it is a free speech platform, but it's like, that's all it is free speech. There's no fiscal support. So it's like, what's the point? Like, I get it. I understand it. But still, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, my fingers still stink. Ugh, it's bad. I can't stop smelling it either. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't stop.
Oh, you're so disgusting.
Well, I don't want the chickens eating that. So it's, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You didn't put on any gloves or anything like that?
No. Why are you going to put on gloves, you bitch?
So your fingers yeah. don't smell like
well,
buttholes?
Lesson learned now. No, buttholes don't even smell this bad. Oh, it's mildew chicken scratch. Oh, God. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross. But now that's why I was late. Had to move the chicks around. And the ducks, we got the two ducks, they're growing. And man, these guys are like little bitches. The two adult chickens I already have, they're afraid of them because they keep chasing them around. It's like a territorial dispute. So I'm dealing with them, huh?
Did you name the ducks?
No. Well, the suicide twins because they killed all the little baby chicks. Did I tell that story on the show?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, brace yourselves. Here we go. About maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had four other chicks, brand new chicks. They were, matter of fact, we left them here at the shop when we went to Turkey, and they were about maybe 6 or 7 weeks old. And so I let them out into Gen Pop, you know, of the chicken coop. I have the big shed coop that's attached to the small wooden coop that the chickens like to lay in, and it's inside of a, metal, fence, I guess you could say. Anyway, I leave the gate open because the two big chicks, right now, back then it was the two ducks and then the four small chicks, and they were all the same. And then I had my two full-grown chickens that are currently laying. Well, the full-grown chickens are very territorial, which I was like, okay, fair enough. We'll just have to keep them separated until they get big enough so they can defend themselves. No, the ducks are full-grown. They're still acting like little bitches. It's like, dude, you're bigger than the chicken. Stop this. This is ridiculous. But anyway, so this is when I first got back from Turkey. I left the coop open. And I wake up in the morning, I hear the ducks screaming in the pool. I'm like, man, the ducks got in the pool, which I figured they would be. But they're not big enough to where they can get out, so they're stuck in there. I was like, all right. So I went and fished the ducks out, and then I went to go check on the chicks, and they're gone. All of them are gone. So I'm kind of like, what the hell? So I go into the pen, or the coop, there's nobody there. I'm like, where did the chicks go? Like, you don't just disappear. You've got to be here somewhere. And I'm listening for them. Yeah, the chicks were raptured. Yeah, that's what it was. On my farm, it's like, dude, it's like the chicken slaughter farm. But anyway, then Sheila's like, turn off the pool fountain. So I turn off the pool fountain. The water clears up. And there's the chicks drowned at the bottom of the pool. They followed the ducks. I think the older chickens chase the ducks. And the little chicks think the ducks are their mother. And follow the ducks in the pool and they drown.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah. So now they're the suicide ducks. Like, kind of half tempted to kill them. Like, see, these are some evil ducks. Nah, they're actually really good ducks. So, but yeah, I was kind of pissed about that. It's just, dude, anything kills chickens. And then I lost four more because I had the, it's like a metallic, I told this story before, it's a metallic chicken laying thing. It has like six little slots in it that you put hay in there, whatever. And the chickens go in there to lay. And there's two little banisters on it, one on the bottom, one on the top, because chickens like to roost on that. Well, four of the chicks, for some reason, got scared and wedged themselves behind it and starved to death or whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened. They're dead. I'm like, what the fuck? I lose four chickens to that. And then the other four chickens drown themselves. Like, is the farm really that bad to be on? I mean, the adult chickens love it. You get free range of 2 acres. You get all the grub worms you want. It's a damn good life. All you gotta do is poop out an egg once a day. But yeah, there we go. So John, the destroyer of chicks. Yeah, I am a total chick slaughterer, not a chick magnet, a chick slaughterer. Oh my gosh. What's going on, America? You sure you want to watch this episode? I'm kind of high. Not going to lie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Not super high. Microdosed a little bit. Had a little bit of a gummy.
Just enough.
Just enough. No, I find that like with soreness and stuff before going to the gym, like microdosing just a little bit of Delta 8 really does wonders. It doesn't make the pain go away, but it certainly makes you ignore it because you just don't care. Nah, I'm kidding. Yeah. Butt nuggets for breakfast. Yeah. Well, so far I've only managed to get two chickens to like full term to where they're laying. So the ducks are almost there. I don't know how long it takes ducks to start laying to become full grown. And then we've got the four chickens, and then I got four more yesterday, and one of them already died. Natural causes. Has to be. I mean, I kept them separated. I have no idea. No idea. But walked out there this morning, poor little dude's on his own, just dead. I was like, son of a bitch. So I had to move them all into the garage, keep them in a more less excitable environment. May have had a heart attack, because you don't want to get chickens riled up and stuff like that. It cause them to stop laying. Or oh, bees tomorrow. I'm not going to be in tomorrow. Bees. The bees are happening.
How many of those do you think you'll kill?
Oh, well, the bee's lifespan is roughly 30 to 45 days, so it just does itself. It's a self-correcting problem.
So a couple days?
Probably a couple of days, yeah.
Okay.
It's a murder farm.
Murder farm.
It's a murder farm. Bro, I'm like, I feel like, the thing is, like, I grew up in the suburbs of Texas where, like, high school football was, like, religion. I didn't play. I joined the army to kill Arabs, but still, it didn't matter. You know, I get it. But like, I'm not saying I'm country, but I did grow up in the country. I'd go to my friends that lived on farms. Like, I don't understand the process of a lot of things. So I kind of feel like that white gringo that's trying to, like, you know, pioneer the old West by trying to raise chickens and shit like that. And it's like, yeah, I've gotten two out of eight full term. But you know, total.
Any more than two, you're just bragging.
I think I've lost 12 chickens total. 12 chickens have died, and I've been out like maybe $20. That's the sad part about it. Like ducks, I can understand why you'd raise ducks for meat because they grow full term in like 60 days. They're almost full adults.
They are good.
A duck is roasted duck. Ooh, oh, yeah, that's good. I forgot about that. And I didn't know this, but the tractor trailer is selling turkeys. So tomorrow I'm picking up two turkeys.
Really?
Little baby chick turkeys, yeah, if I can get them to survive. And then slaughter one for Thanksgiving. Because they say they're a slow grow, which makes the meat more tender. I'm going to put you inside of me. Oh, my gosh. What's going on, folks? Glad you guys are tuning in today. Oh, my gosh. That's the day of my life. I wake up and it's like, okay, what died? What died on the farm? That's the story of my farm life so far. That's why I've been kind of hesitant to get sheep and goats. Like, if I can't keep chickens alive, I mean, I keep Athena alive. That's easy. Feed and water, let her out to pee and poop, and you're good to go. With chickens, anything kills them, to include themselves. They kill themselves. They're like worse than little lemmings. They're feathery little lemmings. They will walk off cliffs because they just don't care.
Just don't care.
Just don't care. Stupid chicks. Dumbass chicks. Yeah. Name them Thanksgiving and Christmas. Oh, that's true. Wait, turkeys can't fly too far, though, but the fuckers will get on roofs and then die coming off. Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that with chickens. Like, the two adult chickens I have, one is Miss Pecky. I don't know why I call her that. She's just Miss Pecky. And the other one, I have no idea. I didn't bother naming it. Miss Pecky's the only one of the chickens that have a name, minus the suicide ducks, and they're not chickens. But either way, it's the craziest thing. When I come home, I have to open the gate, I hit the clicker, and then I start to drive the truck in, and they'll be free grazing somewhere out there, and they'll see me, and they come running because they want grub worms. Like, they love grub worms. These things are just like, oh, my God. But the potatoes, oh, bro, the potatoes are coming in. Like, yesterday, the day of sunshine, the day before we had good sunshine, so much growth.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, it's insane. I know with regular Yukon potatoes, you can basically plant them within like 6 inches of the soil and it grows on its own. But with like, I can't remember, it's not a sweet potato. I forget what kind of potato it is, but you got to kind of quarter it where the eyes are, give them a few days to get that little thin skin on the outer covering that you cut, and then plant that, and then they grow from there. And then I ordered 10 heirloom ginger seeds because I want to start growing ginger, and then wheatgrass for dietary purposes. And this stuff is like great for you. Like, you ever done ginger shots?
I have.
Oh, they taste horrible.
Oh, it's awful.
But they're wonderful for digestion. A lot of great benefits out there. But between that and wheatgrass, it's like, you know, you can grow organic stuff and then, like, help really cleanse your diet. And so I'm going to start doing that. And then the potato plants, they're sprouting like crazy. Jalapeno plants growing like crazy. The melon plants growing like crazy. And I'm happy to see the two weeping willows are doing phenomenally well. And then the fruit trees, the two peach trees are starting to...
Hey,
little fruit trees.
You want some peaches?
Oh, my God. Where the hell's my pen? 1447. Where'd my pen go? Somebody... That's the one I... You son of a whore. That'll be the show opener there. I've been lazy. I haven't been doing the openers on the podcast. I need to do that. What did everybody think of the eclipse yesterday? We posted it on the Facebook group, Shell Shock CBD Facebook group and Instagram page in case you didn't get to see it. Dude, what'd you think?
I was pretty badass.
Yeah.
I mean, however,
did you get a little worried there?
I
think a lot of people did.
You think so? No. I just thought it was pretty cool. I mean, just to see all the go tonight and like, matter of seconds.
Well, we're still here, so the rapture. Well, is anybody missing any friends? Because if people did get raptured, I got news for you. We're screwed. It's like, oh boy. Is anybody missing? No? Okay, good. So it wasn't the rapture. Oh my God. All the conspiracy theories all over Twitter from this one was just ridiculous. Oh, you got the call? Yeah. Just me now. So Josh is big gay. Yeah, you shake that thing as you walk away. Nah, but the eclipse is really cool. I think when it first started, it gave off like the vibes of kind of like tornado season to where it starts to get a little dark. The temperature begins to drop. Winds pick up. You see a little bit of green in the air. It's like, oh, man, things are about to get bad. So I don't know. Hobo's missing. Okay, if Hobo got raptured, of all people, we are so screwed. If Hobo got no. I'm going to be pissed. I'll be so pissed if Hobo got raptured. No way. All right. This episode of today is brought to you by, you guessed it, Shell Shock CBD. East Coast ATF murders an innocent again. Yeah, East Coast. Thank you for the $1 dono, by the way. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I actually heard about this article. Oh, God. Who told me about this? This was... I just found out about this. I want to say the Thomas Massey event. I talked to somebody out there, and they made me aware of this. It didn't even really make the news. Did people know that there was another ATF killing of an innocent? How many of you actually heard of this? Anybody hear about this? Anybody hear about this? No? Okay. Alec Baldwin joined the ATF now. This episode is brought to you by ShellShockCBD.com. You know what really, really helped me in recovery from the Pilates and the hot yoga, which I'm going to continue to do, by the way. I actually love it. It's actually helped me shred, dude. I think I've cut 5 pounds already. You know, and the hot yoga really makes you drink a lot of water, so you're hydrating yourself, which I know we all need. I'm horrible about that. I definitely need to do better. But after the Pilates and the hot yoga... one thing that I found that really helps recovery, it's this right here, our CBD bath salts. These things are incredible. 600 milligrams of CBD, eucalyptus scented. I'm telling you, folks, this is great for DOMS. It's great for information. It's great for inflammation. It's great for your skin. I'm not lying. I am not lying. These things are incredible. 16 ounces. Pamper your mind, body. Wait a minute. We got to do this the right way. Hold on. Stand by. You'll understand here in a second. It'll make sense here in a second. Stand by. I gotta make sure I do this the right way. Here we go. Almost there. All right, perfect. Here we go. No, that just sounds evil. No. Yo ho. Oh, perfect. Here we go. Pamper your mind, body, and soul with our therapeutic CBD bath salts infused with 600 milligrams of our high-quality CBD isolate. Our bath salts melt away your aches and soreness while hydrating and softening your skin. Epsom salt, pink Himalayan salt, and MCT coconut oil combined with richly fragrant notes of eucalyptus and spearmint for a soul-piercing relaxation experience, sure to restore order and balance to your day. All products are made and grown in the USA and lab-tested for potency and purity. Salt from the Himalayas, carried on backpacks of Shaolin monks. That's not true at all. And don't forget the lube. All right, we're done. We're done. That's a good shout out, though, right? That's a good advertisement. Damn good. Damn good. Damn good. Folks, you got that lady, the special lady in your life? I'm telling you. Go right there. There's the link. Shellshockcbd.com, topicals tab. You can go see it for yourself. It is incredible. It's good stuff. All right, let's get into the news. Jennifer and James Crumbly sentenced in son's Michigan school shooting. I don't know how I feel about this. I haven't read the full article yet. James and Jennifer Crumbly were both found guilty of 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. Judge Cheryl Matthews of Oklahoma County, Michigan, or Oakland, excuse me. Massive difference there. Tuesday sentenced James and Jennifer Crumbly, parents of the Oxford High School shooter Ethan Crumbly, to a term of 10 to 15 years in prison, each with credit for time served. 2 separate juries found both James and Jennifer guilty of 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting on November 30th of 2021, when their 15-year-old son killed students Tate Muir, Justin Schilling, Hannah St. Juliana, and Madison Baldwin, and left 7 other victims injured. In his first and last statements addressing the court Tuesday, James Crumbly apologized to the victim. Okay, what do they do, though? Okay, they apologize. Have crap, you're lying. James' statement concluded with a loud declaration that the court did not know the whole truth about the shooting. The whole truth has not been told, and I'm with you. I want the truth. You have not had it. You have not had the truth at all. Jennifer also expressed remorse in her statement, saying, I've taken countless nights in lament over the anguish and shame I carry, knowing what my son did, the harm he caused to innocent lives. Okay, what did they do? The pair...
Was it their weapons?
I'm guessing. The parents' trials have been described as historic, as they are the first parents of a school shooter in U.S. history to be tried for their child's crimes. Ethan Crumbly's case was considered historic because he pleaded guilty to a terrorism charge on top of murder charges that the now 18-year-old will spend life in prison without possibility of parole. James Crumbly declined to testify during his own trial after his wife took the stand about a month before the trial began. At one point during her trial, Jennifer said she wouldn't have done anything differently if given the chance. What did you do? Of course, I look back. Okay, Chad, fill me in. Oh, they gave him the gun? They knew how unstable he was. They kept on trying to cover for him. They bought him the gun. What? They bought their 15-year-old a handgun for his birthday and he was unstable? I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you do want to stem the school shooting, I think that's fair. 100% fair. Like, you provided him the weapon knowing full well this guy was unhinged. I kind of feel like that's also on you. You're the guardian. You're the parent. Now, if he was 18 and did it, then of course, there, you know, nothing they can do. But the fact this kid was a child in 15 and he murdered, what, 5-6 people? Ooh. Anyone here that Spike Cohen is going to have a gun control debate with David Hogg? David Hogg's an idiot.
Grifter.
Massive grifter. Wrong damn kid died. I'll say it to the day that I die. I don't care. That guy's a turd. Did you see the DJT where it's at right now? It's like $35.
Oof. Yeah, I saw that.
Can you imagine people that like bought a lot of that? They got to be so pissed. I wonder what that's done to Trump's net worth then. Because if his, it's like, oh my God, they what opened at like 70 something? What did you bought it when it first opened? Would you buy that?
It was like 70. Yeah, like
77,
something like that. Yeah,
all the way to 35, bro. That's bad. That is bad. Why Trump's? This is from MSN, EU News, EN News. Why Trump's alarming takeover of the RNC is backfiring. This comes by Zishan Elmin. Oh, I bet I know. Finished Masters of the Air last night, by the way. Totally off topic, I know. You've seen it yet? The 9-part miniseries? I'm not going to lie. massively disappointing. I think they could have done so much better. It was like your cast couldn't act. They felt like it was nothing but fuckboys. The laid dude, the guy that played Elvis, I don't think there was one scene in that entire series where his hair was messed up at all. Perfect hair every scene. It's like, This is weird. This is weird. But the acting was just egregious.
Yeah.
It was bad. And it felt like there was so much that was CGI'd, probably to save money in the studio, but yeah, dude, episode 9, they like wrapped up D-Day and the invasion, the whole thing, in like one episode. And I'm like, what? Like Band of Brothers in the Pacific, they took their time and it drug on. And it definitely gave you the feeling of how long World War II actually was for many people. But the one interesting thing that they brought up for Master of the Air was that the casualty rates were higher than any other branch. Like they even said from January of 43 till November, I think it was 40 or 45, the German pilot fatality rate, 99%. 99% if you were a German in the Luftwaffe. You had a 99% chance of getting killed.
Yikes.
Both sides took some massive casualties. And then last night I watched the documentary on the Bloody Hundredth, which was what the series was made about. And these guys, you know, I am glad they did the series. I would have liked to have seen it done better. The writing was horrible. It was so Hollywood done, like when the... Well, I don't want to give away spoilers, but it just, there were so many kind of like ultra patriotic moments. Like, that's not how it was, dude. Like, these dudes are fighting for their lives. They don't give that shit about like queen and country or God bless them. It's like, no, you're fighting for the dudes beside you. But they kind of felt like spoofed, which is so weird to me because in Band of Brothers and the rest of it, they didn't do that. It was natural. You saw like, when you saw the Pacific and you see the scenes where like the one Marine dude is throwing rocks in the blown out skull of the Jap enemy. And you're just kind of like, yeah, that's how it was. Like, it's just common, dude. It's you get turned into a monster. But with this Master of the Air, it just felt like, I don't know. And then they tried doing this PTSD episode. It was like, stop. Like, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm saying the way they portrayed it was just, you know, back then, you were looked down upon if you had battle fatigue, shell shock, what else have they called it? Battle fatigue, there's like four or five different names. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But I don't know. But I thought it definitely brought a very interesting realism to the casualty numbers of the Army Air Corps at the time. And I was like, man, that is interesting. Puts a hole in. I never knew this. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit that. But, you know, being an Army guy, you're kind of drawn to what you're drawn to, especially like Marines and stuff. But when you look at the Army Air Corps and the attrition rates, like, good Lord, or the casualty rates, it's incredible. And these dudes... And that documentary only had like 10 months of flying experience prior to getting shipped over there to, you know, join up with the RAF to start bombing Germany. I was like, Jesus, like 10 months to then go into fighter pilot to, yeah, take on in those and by the way, the training they did wasn't even on the, was it B-17 Fortresses? It wasn't even on those. They were just like rather crop planes. So then they get into this and it's just kind of like, I don't know. It was just like anything that could possibly serve as a obstacle, they hit. Lack of training, lack of experience. These guys are like 19, 20 to 25 years old, never seen combat, never shot anything bigger than a squirrel. And then you're putting them against German Luftwaffe that already had combat experience in Greece, Turkey, Poland, like all these places. They'd already been fighting for years. And then you take these fresh Americans and these fortresses that are slow as hell because they briefed these guys, your fortresses can outrun the German Luftwaffe. It's like, no, they can't. And these guys, they were one they called Black Week. This is how bad it was. They sent out 1,800-something planes on this one operation and only three came back. The Luftwaffe shredded them. And I didn't know this, the tactical point, but they said they'd been planning the D-Day invasion for like 6 months prior. Stalin, Churchill, and I think Roosevelt met and they started planning D-Day operations saying, we're going to do this, multiple fronts. But Eisenhower said that this won't happen until you take out the Luftwaffe. We can't do it. They will murder us on the beach. We have to have air superiority. So the English would bomb Germany at night and they wouldn't hit hardly any of the targets. Their bombings would be off by a mob because they want to lose planes. So the Americans go over and I thought this was very interesting. In true American fashion, we do the hard shit. that nobody else wants to do. So we bomb them during the day. Then it's getting more accurate. Now you're taking out ball bearing factoring, submarine repair place, all this stuff. And yet England continues to bomb at night, which is virtually worthless. So it's like, what did you say you did during World War II? But anyway, I'm kidding. I know England's a big ally. But just to see what these guys went through, it's like, my God, dude. And then the crazy part was half of them would get shot down in certain areas and end up in the same concentration camps or POW camps. And they'd be like walking through the gates and be like, hey, it's so-and-so. It's like, oh, you just come go over with your pilot buddies. So a lot of them got shot down and get captured by the Germans. And one pilot, his name was, his nickname was Rosie. Dude flew like, I think a total of 55 combat missions, which was unheard of. They said at 25, you can go home. Then they raised it to like 30 something. He kept going. He got shot down, went into a concentration camp or prison camp, escaped that, went back to England. This is from Germany. This was also with a broken arm, apparently. He got shot down in Germany, and he landed his plane. He ditched his plane right between German and Russian lines, and he got captured by the Russians, and the Russians helped him get back to England. And then he goes right back and keeps flying missions. I'm like, bro,
damn,
greatest generation. Greatest generation. Can you see our people doing that?
Wonder what his pronouns are.
I was literally about to say, you say the wrong pronouns, these guys shoot themselves. Like, these guys are out there fighting the freaking Nazis. My God. And you just look at this stuff, impressive. And it's like, it's insane. Jimmy Stewart flew his. I didn't know that. Actor Jimmy Stewart served. Clark Gable served. Back then, like, celebrities, it was like, imagine the global war on terror, but a much more massive scale. And you got looked at as a coward if you didn't go and fight. So Hollywood celebrities would go and fight. Like, even John Wayne, a lot of people didn't know this. John Wayne wanted to fight, but his Hollywood people wouldn't let him out of his contracts. Like, no, you're too important to us over here. And that's something he said he always felt guilty about. He's like, yeah, I would too. I would too. I mean, he's in the movie The Longest Day, I think it is. He's like, bro, you didn't even serve. And meanwhile, like, half the dudes that are in that video or that film, they served and you didn't. It's like, how does that make you feel? I don't know.
Alive.
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, there was a lot of Hollywood celebrities back then that served. And it was interesting to see. But now, can you imagine that? If, like, we were at war with Russia, how many Hollywood celebrities do you think are lining up to be like, I'm going to go serve?
I don't know. You'd have to go to Rapides' house, probably, so you could round up there.
I'm sure Lizzo would want to be a cook.
Yeah.
Let's see her serving as a cook. Chris Pratt. I'd see him serving. He's got that whole patriotic vibe. He'd try and be a Navy SEAL, but he'd probably fail. He'd do something else. Then we'd get a book about it, or a podcast, or $18,000 a day boot camp. Oh, yeah, I went there. All right. Bush Sr. was a pilot who fought the Japanese, and he got shot down. Did you hear that story? He was adrift at sea and got captured, or he got rescued at sea. It was Bush, yeah, George Bush Sr. And the guys that did get captured were cannibalized.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the stories. They don't tell the story a lot, but it was a Japanese concentration camp. And they'd go out there and they'd carve off little pieces of their meat and eat them. It's disgusting, dude. Oh, yeah. Real thing happened. But George Bush had ditched in the ocean and he got rescued. But the stories from the guys that didn't make it out, Jesus, dude. It and they would cook the flesh in front of them. Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's kind of like, I understand why they were so racist towards the Japanese. Like, I get it. I totally get it. Imagine if the Arabs did that to Americans. Like, you got capture people and they're like literally cannibalizing you. It's like, yeah, you're a culture that needs to get annihilated. But I'm glad we didn't do that with the Japanese, because now we have Final Fantasy VII. Thank you. And
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers. We got Metal Gear Solid. Hideo Kojima. I think he's Japanese. I have no idea. I'm not even gonna lie, I can't tell the difference.
Sounds Japanese.
Mm-mm. I think I'm turning Japanese. I mean, we wouldn't have that song. Or it would take on an entirely different meaning. Like, turning Japanese would be like getting turned to ash. You'd Aaron Bushnell yourself due to set himself on fire. That, yeah, you know? Idiot. Hilarious. Hilarious. Oh, my God. All right. It's been roughly a month since former President Donald Trump's handpicked allies took the reins of the Republican National Committee, the most tangible example of Trump's ever-tightening grip of the GOP's party apparatus, but the takeover isn't going well. The committee's new chairman, Michael Whatley, and co-chair Laura Trump immediately ordered a purge of the organization after they assumed their positions. Dozens of RNC staffers were either laid off or asked to resign and reapply for jobs. In a harrowing development, as my colleague Hayes Brown has discussed, the applicants were asked for their views on whether the 2020 election was rigged. Now, new reporting indicates that even the purge process has been a mess. In a sign of how haphazard the mass terminations were, most former staffers have reportedly been offered jobs again. That raises the question of why their jobs were terminated in the first place. The rehiring process is going poorly as well, according to Axios. Some rehired staffers are unsure of what their roles are. The result is the critical brain drain from the RNC, just as the general election is effectively getting underway. The Guardian reports that multiple sources familiar with the matter are saying that some staffers have declined to return. The situation means the RNC has been left without people with deep knowledge of election operations as the Republican Party's central committee. It's not clear what exactly motivated people to turn down opportunities to be rehired. The Guardian story speculates that part of it could be tied to the loyalty tests at the interviews. Alternatively, it could also be in part because the new RNC is relocating some of its staffers, such as its data team, to Palm Beach, Florida, to embed within Trump's campaign and further meld the campaign and party operations. But whatever the reasoning, it's clear that a premature rush to cleanse the RNC has pushed out talent that could have been helped. I probably agree with this. Not going to lie. I could probably agree with this. I could see them. And here's the thing. I understand why he's doing it. He didn't do that his first term. He kept a lot of pieces of crap around him. He didn't get rid of them as he should have. I don't think he's going to make that mistake again. Not vouching for the dude, but I can kind of see that way. You go in there and you have to purge.
Yep.
It's with every administration. Trump didn't do it. I mean, and some of the picks that he had were horrendous. But yeah, but either way, like firing a lot of your RNC staffers, I don't think you're going to have a loyalty issue there. I think the majority of Republicans support Donald Trump. So when it comes to RNC staffers, I really don't know. I'm not there. Maybe they are Democrats, and who knows? Who knows?
Or just
are not loyal enough to Trump?
Right.
That's the other part that it can go either way. What does loyalty to Trump mean? Now we're taking RNC funds and covering his legal bills, like Laura Trump said she wants to, and then probably there's some RNC staffers saying, no, that's not what it's for, and they're probably like, well, you're not loyal, you're fired. I mean, I could see that. Laura Trump herself said it. Shit. I don't know. Then Gavin Newsom, his decisions, his choices just continue to blow my mind. Why anybody in California ever voted for this guy again?
It's amazing.
You recalled this moron. Pizza chain closes California locations before minimum wage law took effect. Mod Pizza has 500 locations statewide. A pizza chain shuttered some of its California locations before the state boosted the minimum wage for fast food workers earlier this month. Mod Pizza, which has 500 locations nationwide, closed 5 shops in the state at the end of March, according to local Fox affiliate. Those shops were among the over 24 locations the company closed across the nation. The company did not specify a reason, but workers in Clovis, whose shop abruptly closed, told the outlet they suspected that the California closures had to do with the new law that took effect in April. It just kind of seemed like the right timing, 2 weeks before all the fast food locations in California got that increase that we closed, a Mod Pizza employee who asked to remain anonymous said. Legislation that went into effect in California April 1st increases the minimum wage for restaurants that have at least 60 locations nationwide. That's the other thing. It's why does it matter how many locations you have? The over-under is still going to be the same. Money coming in versus money going out. And if you increase that money going out, then the money coming in is going to have to be increased either as well. And if people don't want to pay more, well, then your kind of fiscal pipe flow has just been blocked and you're going to go under. Okay. The median fast food worker in the United States earns $13.43 an hour in 2022, while those in California made an average of $16.60 an hour, according to the Bureau. And that's what I'm saying, though. When you make a comparison to apples to apples, it's inaccurate. You're not giving the right context. It's apples to bananas. Nationwide, $13.43 an hour versus California, that's $16. Well, what's the cost of living in California? And they're $76 billion in debt, by the way, just so you know. So, people are not moving to California. It's only going to get worse. They're leaving California by the droves. The taxes are insane. It's unaffordable. Gavin Newsom's a schmuck. You're trying to ban everything gas-powered. Meanwhile, you got rolling blackouts, wildfires, all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's one thing that they never address is the fact that if everybody has an electric vehicle and everybody's using a charger, we don't have a power infrastructure big enough to accommodate.
Elon himself has said that. He's like,
ask him about it, they're like, oh, well, we'll figure it out. I'm like,
yeah.
Didn't you figure that out first, dummy?
That's Yeah.
It's a racket.
It's a racket.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable that Gavin Newsom is still in power over there.
You know, it just goes to show you, like, you know, Thomas Massie's thing. The most dangerous thing in America are the voters.
Yep.
It's the He's voters. Right. It's crazy. Hold on. I'm checking this thing out real quick. Somebody said there's more debt in California than that much.
Yeah, it says California state debt stands about $777 billion.
God. Wow, I got that one wrong. Yes, budget deficit balloons to $73 billion. What did I say? You think that's what I said?
It's $777 billion.
Oh.
State debt stands at about $777 billion.
I'm reading calmatters.org. Where are you getting yours from?
Same.
Really? Mine says California budget deficit balloons $73 billion. Oh, that's the def. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Today, the legislative analyst's office projected the shortfall as $15 billion higher or $73 billion. Good grief. And you know, that's just the government. That's the government. The government does this. You know, if you want to blame it, they're literally right there, and you keep voting for these schmucks. But I think a lot of voters don't care because they don't see the money literally coming out of their pocket. Like, maybe
don't
if we...
they
know? No, I don't think they do, because what person in their right mind would say, we need to keep electing this moron, and he's losing it? Like, why? It'd be like... people are just being led to the slaughter. It's like, okay. And you follow in line and you go get shoved in the wood chipper. And they're like, we're going to keep voting for this. It's like, are you really that stupid?
That's when I would start wondering about voter fraud. Like, how does this guy keep getting elected and you're over almost $800 billion in debt?
Well, it's no difference than like how we see people like clinging to places like Dallas and Austin, the city areas. You got LA. Bro, that's like... if somebody nuked LA, I'd say you take out like at least 75% of the liberal population in total, because I think all those weirdos are in LA. LA, New York, my God. What do you call it? The protest hangout. Everybody up.
Chaz.
Chaz, no, Chaz is gone. What is it? Not Oakland. Oakland's ghetto. What's one where all the Antifa is?
Oregon?
Portland, Oregon. Thank you. Portland, Oregon. That's another one. And that way, yeah, you just get rid of Antifa and that like anthill. Just bomb that place. 100%. Seattle? Oh, yeah. I could see Seattle. I've never been to Seattle. I heard it's a beautiful city, but I could definitely see all the liberal kooks are up there for sure.
It is such a shame what these people have done to these cities.
Oh,
because,
my God.
Because, I mean, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. And these scumbags go in there and just destroy it.
Yeah. That's like the liberal agenda. Whatever we can find is beautiful, we're just going to shit all over it.
If I was a native Californian,
I'd be so pissed. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about, like, Texas. We get all those fruitcakes coming here. It's like, no, stay over there. Actually, there was a lady I was dancing with in tango. She came from California. And I've had this experience, like, 3 or 4 times with people from California. I'm like, oh, so where you're from? It's like, California, but please don't hold that against me. I'm like, I'm glad you acknowledge
it's
that.
It's funny because
I'm glad you acknowledge
we
that.
We have a family at our school that just moved here, and they had California plates. They're like, yeah, people would honk at us, and
we don't like you.
Yeah.
We don't like you.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that fake, imagine being such a loser that you watch wrestling. That's a chat joke. Apparently, WWE had WrestleMania again, and The Rock was there, John Cena, The Undertaker, all of like the OGs. It was a big deal. And so I think Cody Rhodes is there, which is my doppelganger, some other stuff. But yeah, imagine being a nerd, a full-grown adult, and watching that. That's going to piss off Reese and Tracy Beans. they were calling me out on Twitter because I did a game stream last night. They're like, dork. I was like, you watch WWE. Shut the hell up. I was like, you got no room to talk, Mrs. Can't see me. Undertaker, like, doing the eyes rolling back and then choke slams The Rock into, like, submission. Like, that's all it took was him, like, picking up The Rock, boop, and that's it. Rock's done. How does that make any... you jump off of cages and slam chairs and tables over each other's head, but a drop on the mat, that's what... stop. Stop. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah, the chat's pissed now. Like, fuck you. You don't subscribe. I don't give a shit what you think. Yeah. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Wow, a lot of wrestling fans in here.
Yeah. women Jello wrestling. I never saw the appeal of that. I don't know. I'm just sitting there. It's like, man, I could use some peanut butter and make a sandwich out of it. No, that's not what we're doing. Media pronounces doom as Truth Social goes public, but financials leave room for optimism. I bet they do. I'm optimistic that it could come back. I mean, it actually could. It probably could come back. The more developments they make to Truth Social and stuff like that, it could potentially turn around the stock. I just don't see it happening, though, because that would require Trump to invest more money into an already failing system. So I don't know. The Trump Media and Technology Group went public last week. In just 1 week, that stock went from like $77 to $35. Like, Jesus, bro, that's like bad. The only other people I've seen do that is like Black Rifle. But they were doing a pump and dump. So, and they golden parachuted to safety. They were okay, which is a bullshit thing to do. Trump Media and Technology Group went public last week, and after a long-delayed merger with a special-purpose acquisition corporation that ultimately led to a significant uptick in the market cap ahead of its NASDAQ debut. But the stock subsequently experienced a significant decline in market value, resulting in media prognostications of financial ruin that were compounded by the firm's filing of key financial statements. And that's basically, we found out what Q4 was, and they were like under by $56 million or something like that. They lost a lot. March 26th, they went public using the ticker DJT in homage to former President Donald J. Trump, its majority shareholder. Now, remember, Trump did sign that thing of that he can't sell for at least 6 months, but they said the board could review that and suspend it to where the point where he could. If he was going to, he's going to probably have to do it soon because the way it's going, like it continues to just nosedive. Now, I'm not going to lie. If it gets down into like the single dollar range, I might scoop up a few hundred shares. You just never know. You just never know.
I mean, you think it would go that low?
Well, at this rate, yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, the biggest thing is, will it go low enough to where it'll just get pulled from the market because it's done? I don't know. Ahead of the debut, the share price surged substantially, as I would imagine most stocks do. Black Rifle, same thing. Everybody was so pumped for that. They go public and everybody's buying up shares. And then Black Rifle itself liquidates a lot of its own shares, cheapens the stock, pumps and dumps, and now the stock's... What's Black Rifle stock valued at right now? Let's just check right here. Black Rifle stock value... I think they opened at like 16. Let's check this out. Oh, damn. Yeah. $7.92 a share. Or no, that's not it. No, hold on. Let me see. Oh, God. Let me look at, it's not good. Summary.
In the chat, Katie says $4.82.
I'm looking at that right now, but I want to see what it opened at. Yeah, I've got it right here. $4.82. I want to see when they went public, though. This is just for today. Where do we go to the timeline settings? Advanced chart.
Yeah, it opened at, let's see, $29.45.
Good Lord.
That was at its peak in 2022.
Yeah. Let's go to year to date. 1 year, 2 years. Yeah, so you can clearly see when they first launched right here, you know, people were buying up shares, got super popular, and then it just plummeted. And now it just continues to drop. It's not doing good at all. People, you know, consumer or investor confidence, people, it's a worthless stock. Yeah. And, you know, Truth Social is going the same way. You know, they open, it surges, people are excited for it, they buy it, and then sure enough, it just slowly starts to begin to drop. I mean, this one, their stock, dude, this was in... just in April alone, April into May of 2022, they lost, my God, they lost so much. Bro, that's crazy. That's crazy. It is what it is. It is what it is. But I also know they think they sold a lot of their shares and like really cheapened the value. So there you go. But yeah, DJT opened at like 77. Now it's down to like 36. It's not good. It's not good at all. I bought stock in Rumble. What's Rumble valued at right now?
I did too.
Yeah, Josh got stock in Rumble. I forget to stand by. Let's take a look. We're turning this into an investment show. Right now, it's $6.70 a share.
You want some bad stock
price? You want some bad stock price? Get it from Josh. He bought DJT. No, it's a gamble, dude. Like, for me, though, like, if I was you...
I bought 5 shares.
Well, I thought about it. It's like, if I was going to do this, I'd buy when it first opens, when that one goes, and then... I kind of felt like you could almost forecast there's going to be a surge because a lot of the Trump people are going to want to buy this to support Donald J. Trump. But then I feel like they're not going to get the majority of people out there buying the stock. So, I don't know. Dark Fox says, I bought 150 shares at $4.43 a share. Dogecoin is different. Like, my God, imagine if you like we're going to max. They've been on a steady decline, kind of, as of late. Since September of 2022, they've been losing. I mean, there's a little ups and downs here and there, but their stock has not done very well. It started to really grow in February of 2022, and then again in September, but then it just kind of, boom, well, what's up?
At Shellshock Studios, you both buy high and sell, or buy high and sell high.
Hey-o! No, I'm invested in the Schwab. I'm invested in a lot of things, like very non-volatile stocks. I don't do the day trading. For me, it's just like, it's a retirement setup. Like, I put so many thousands into just letting it grow and then reinvest the dividends, so... That's just me. Yeah, I am by no means an expert. I'm learning as I go. Matter of fact, Tyler, operations manager, he's pretty good at this. He's the one that advised me into this. But no, I do more investments into long term. Because again, I feel like that's me setting up. Because essentially, there's some stocks that will pay you a quarterly dividend. And for me, it's just like I take those dividends and reinvest it back into buying more stock. So it's just kind of like a constantly accruing bank account, if you will, eventually when you want to share. But, you know, you just got to keep investing in this stuff. But if the stock market goes under, I'm fucked. So that's why I also bought gold. And then also have property. I do want to buy another property, though. I want to get at least 2 or 3 properties because I was talking to our realtor yesterday, and she's been sending me some investment properties. And I was like, I just don't feel like we're where I want to be right now before we start doing more of that because I just feel like this economy, like, dude, it's, I don't know. What's the Fed rate right now? Does anybody know?
What a handsome question.
Yeah, what's the Fed rate at right now? But yeah, Rumble, their stock is not done very, if you bought it when they launched in 21, you'd have lost money. 5 year, yeah. They opened, April 16th, 21, and they, for the longest time, kind of maintained, they jumped a little bit, and then they've just been on a slow downward trend since. That also could be, you know what? That also is probably because of the economy. Not going to lie on that one. Got some bean stocks from this dude named Jack. I hope this works out. If you see any giants, run. 5.2 to 5.5%. Well, it's dropped. It's dropped. That's actually not as bad. It's still not good, but it's not as bad. Actually, let me show you guys something. I don't think a lot of y'all realize this. As far as interest rates. This is the Fed rate, 62-year historical chart. I don't think a lot of you realize how good we had it. Okay, this is the chart right here. This was back in 1954. Now, you look in the 1980s, we had a 15% all the way up to 19, damn near 20% Fed rate. That was in June of 1981. That was Reagan, I believe, wasn't it?
He got elected in 82, I think.
82, so that was what, Carter?
I think so, yeah.
Was it Carter?
Yes.
Then Reagan kicks in, and it just starts to plummet. Now... here's the part that really makes me depressed. And from 2009, oh my God, at 2009, it was a 0.18% Fed. It was less than 1%. Less than, oh my God. I'm never going to sleep on that again. When I see those rates drop to that level, buy. buy investment properties.
Yeah, it was 80 to 88. He came in 81.
Who did? Reagan?
Yeah.
So you got 80. So he's probably dealing with Carter's. Yeah, that had to be Carter. Oh, my God. Can you believe? I mean, look at this. From 2008 all the way until 2015, 2016. Shit, dude, even until 2017-ish, less than a percent. Less than a percent. Hey. I keep using that VA home loan. Well, the VA home loan is great. I mean, it's going to get you. You don't have to put a down payment. I think it does get you a lower rate, but not by much. Like, the Fed rate still has a drastic impact. And by the way, you know, you can't, like, say, for example, my situation is I use my VA home loan when I buy a new house. So my first house I bought, that's my rental property now. So I bought another house. Luckily, I bought three houses technically. The first one was the one that me and my ex-wife shared. I used my VA home loan on that. And then I bought my house when I had to move out. And then she sold that house. It paid off my VA loan. So you get it back. And then I used it to buy my current house. So the thing is, with a VA home loan, you can only use it once unless you pay off that property. Then you get it back and you can use it again. So if I go buy another investment property with, and again, maybe things have changed. I hate to be putting out wrong information here, but I have not heard anything otherwise. But like, once you've used your VA home loan, you can't use it again until you pay it off. So investment properties, I don't get a VA benefit on that one. You get it one time. So, but even still, like for me, if I say like I bought another rental property and I bought it for $200,000 to $250,000, my mortgage, where I'm going to make my money by renting it out, is going to be dependent on how much I put down. We're talking 20%, 30% ish. Normally it's like what, 20? You got to put down 10 to 20%.
Yeah.
So do you have that kind of money laying around? It's like, not really. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I do, but I've got it invested and I don't want to risk it. The rates right now are ridiculous. Now, if they drop down to like maybe 2% again, yeah. Buy low, get a good deal. And these houses, it's going to, you know, the thing that worries me is we see that Fed rate dropping. The buyer's market's about to be a feeding frenzy. People are going to start buying houses left and right. Now, the rates are going to drop, but the price housing amount are probably going to go back up. I mean, they already are. We kind of had a very bad issue. We had a high Fed rate and then high housing costs. So it's like the Fed rate drops, but I don't think the housing cost is going to. I mean, it'd be stupid.
Hopefully
not
a little
to.
Bit.
Hopefully. But I think most people are going to be like, you know, If that Fed rate drop, if the rate drops, that's enough to incentivize me to purchase. It's like, well, you're kind of getting one out of two, right? It's like, but we need to bring housing costs back down. But I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. I don't know. But yeah, looking at the history of the Fed rate, oh my God. 62-year historical chart shows the daily level of the federal funds rate back to 1954. The Fed runs rate. When was the Fed run rate first created? Was it like 1930s? Do you know? The Fed run rate is the interest rate at which depository institutions, bank and credit unions lend reserve balances to other depository institutions overnight on an uncollateralized basis. The Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, meets 8 times a year to determine the federal funds target rate. The current federal funds rate as of April 5th, 2024 is 5.3%. Now, when I bought my new house, they were giving me 7%. But they said if I put $15,000 down, they'll drop it to a 5.5% or 5%. I was like, yeah, sure. Because I still use my VA loan on that one. So it's like, I had to put down some. It's like, but I also got my rate down. Now, you can also, if that rate drops, you can do a refi. It might cost you a couple thousand, but yeah, it's worth it in the long run. So if it drops to like 2%, I'm definitely refiing my home. Definitely going to refi that. That would free up so much cash. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's just me. Bought mine in 2021 for $540,000. Now it's $780,000, which is great. But the problem is, though, like, in order to live somewhere else, you have to buy another house unless you want to rent, in which case you're literally throwing your money away because you're putting no equity in the property. So, because right now the house I bought it at $275,000. It's worth over $420,000 right now. I could make a tidy little profit. Now, realistically speaking, I'd rather have a house that essentially continues to build value, because that house was built in 2019 in a very up-and-coming growing area. So it's gaining value. The current tenants are helping me or paying off the mortgage. I've got about a $600 surplus on that that just goes right back into paying off the mortgage. I don't even bank that. So, but it's just one of those things that, like, until the conditions are correct, you can't, you're not going to replicate that. Or if you do, it'll be at such a margin. Like, you might make $100. It's like, is it worth it? It's like, well, there are some people that do investment properties for like a 5-year plan to like buy some place in a very good area they see is growing, and then in 5 years sell it because it's clearly going to gain growing value. But yeah, sell the house and buy an RV if that's what you want. I mean, yeah, but even RVs are not cheap.
And yeah,
they're expensive, and also they depreciate. It's like buying a car. Like, eh, I'd rather buy property. But, you know, exactly. TerraCore just basically summed up what I was trying to say is that you can sell, make a tidy profit, but then you have to buy and you're paying a tidy profit. So it's kind of like you do make some, but I mean, some people would like say, for example, I could, I think they say you got to flip 3 houses to pay for one. Meaning if I sold my house at 4 something, I've netted about, like 120, 140,000 that I've made a profit on. Now, that's going to get taxed, I believe. Or I can invest that into another property to avoid, I think, capital gains tax. Yep. So I've paid off $140,000 of my new mortgage. Now, it'll definitely bring my rate down. But at the same time, that's a one-time thing. So I can get $140,000 up front. Or that property can be paid off over 30 years. Also grows in value. It's not going to lose value. It's only going to grow. And at the same time, I'm net positive $600. Long term, I'm going to stick with that. $120,000? No. Now, maybe if I had to liquidate an asset to get $120 cash that I needed for something, yeah, of course, I could do that. I would. It's like a last, I wouldn't want to do it, but yeah. Anyway, I'll shut the hell up on this. Like, yeah, Gordon Ramsay over here. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Good Lord. I'm actually about to sell the vet.
Are you?
I'm signing the vet up for Turo. I barely drive it. Everything's Tesla or truck. It's just like it's a muscle car. So I'm kind of like, that thing's costing me $2,000 a month. Yeah.
It's a lot of
geesh. It's a lot of money for a flex. And quite honestly, it's also a depreciating asset. I kind of feel stupid now. I'm like, yeah, you flexed. And I'm like 50% of the way of paying it off. But it's like, that would save me about $2,000 a month because the note plus the insurance is not cheap either. So it's like, fuck. Keep the vet. Or now I'm going to sign it up for Turo to where people can rent it. Because quite honestly, I'm to the point where I don't care.
Sad money with John and Josh.
Yeah. This has been sad money with John and Josh. No, I don't know how well it'll do on Turo because like on Turo, you can make it at a competitive pricing. And if somebody rents it for the day, it can be anywhere from $100 to $150 a day. It's like, that's free money. Why not? They're putting some miles on your car. It's already depreciating. If I sold it right now, I'd probably net a positive $20,000. But I've already put about $50,000 on it. So it's like, I'm going to lose money either way. I will never make that mistake again. That's one of those, like, you have just such enormous amounts of fuck you money that you can do that. That's like Black Rifle money. That's not my money. Not yet. God willing. One day we're going to just sell the company. Let's just
do it. This year. This is it.
This is our year. We're just going to sell it. Let's sell the company for like $8 million. And then I'll just invest like $2 million and then retire.
Just buy a whole bunch of Donald Trump stock.
Oh, my God. I think they say that you have to invest
right out of the gate.
You have to invest upwards of $1 million to be able to retire on your monthly or your quarterly dividends, from what Tyler was telling me. It's like, well, yeah, that's a long ways to go. That's a lot, provided the stock market doesn't just go tits up. So I don't know. I have an escrow account right now with a third party consuming firm in order to gain assets in time versus spending it now on a liquid market. Yeah, that sounds very intelligent, Gore. I'm just going to nod north and south like I know what you're talking about. I know the basics, the fundamentals. I'm still learning as we go, bro. I think owning Shell Shock has definitely helped us as far as the business aspect, learning different things. And I'm not going to say it's the hardest thing in the world, but it's one of those that kind of like, it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of math, but it's common sense math. You don't have to do algebra and shit like that, but it's a lot of common sense math. But if you don't take into certain consideration factors that you're going to be hitting, it's like, yeah. Yeah, it's been a blessing. All right. Okay. The ATF. I don't know if y'all heard about this article. The news did a very good job of kind of covering it up. Questions swirl around deadly ATF raid of Arkansas home, leaving a local airport administrator dead. Now, wait till you hear what happened, okay? This is the exact reason why the ATF are worthless. And these are horrible people, horrible tacticians. Newly released videos show federal agents arriving to execute a search warrant on the home of the administrator of a local airport in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, hear me out on this one. It's going to blow your mind. The raid gone wrong in the pre-dawn hours of March 19th. Okay, number one, you're executing a search warrant. Now, this was basically a hard knock, meaning they're going in. They're kicking the door in. They're going in. Pre-dawn. So early in the morning. Now, folks, this does not take a rocket scientist to understand. You're going into a guy's house, and you know what they were going to serve him a warrant to go look for? That he was selling a lot of guns. Yeah, without an actual FFL license to sell guns. He sold a lot. So they're like, okay, well, what's going on here? We got you. So they go into a gun salesman that's basically off the books. They go to kick down his door in the pre-morning. Pre-dawn. What do you think he's going to do?
I think somebody's breaking into his house.
There you go. And he's going to shoot. And they murdered him. Here's the thing. All you had to do is go to his place of work. And like, hey, man, we hear you're selling firearms illegally. And like, oh, yeah, but whatever. Okay, you got him. Maybe he didn't even think about it. Who knows? But the fact is, you straight up murked this dude. These videos, as well as the search warrant affidavit previously pushed, shed light on why an administrator at the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport was under investigation by the Bureau of ATF. According to the ATF, he was allegedly selling firearms without proper licenses, some of which were reportedly used in crimes. Oh, well, welcome to the Second Amendment, bitch. That's fine. Why is he responsible? The guns aren't the thing that kill people. It's users. But they go to investigate this guy for this. It's not like he's carrying out shootings. Regardless of the allegations, Bud Cummins, the lawyer representing Manilowski's estate, has concerns about whether the ATF followed proper procedures executing the search and noted that the ATF has not released footage from body-worn cameras the agents are required to use, possibly violating administration policy established in the wake of major police-involved shootings. Cummins is a former U.S. attorney and one-time chief legal counsel to former Governor Mike Huckabee. The newly released video shows several ATF agents arriving in the early morning of March 19th in 10 separate vehicles. 10. The frick? 10 vehicles for one dude? What do you think, he's got like a meth lab with Taliban in there? Like, what is this? 10, you guys are some bitches. I'm sorry. Y'all are some bitches. Dude, we were doing fucking apartment clearance against the fucking Republican Guard with two men. A squad in an apartment complex. We did it. You fucking nerds in your black little fucking tag gear. You bunch of... Yeah. Fuck the ATF.
Bunch of Gavin Newsoms.
Cummings, the newly released footage. The second video shows agents approaching the front door of the home where one officer applies what appears to be a tape to obscure the doorbell camera on Manilowski's home. Now, why would you do that? Security camera footage released by the media by Cummins on Sunday after the first pieces of the footage to emerge from the incident and highlighting the fact that no BWC footage has been released by authorities despite regulations promulgated by the Biden Justice Department in the wake of the high-profile Breonna Taylor case. At this stage, there is no publicity available, there's no publicly available evidence showing whether agents knocked on the door or announced their presence. I'm pretty sure when you're putting duct tape over the thing, you're not announcing your presence, because why? Why else? Come on, this is not rocket science, folks. This is very easily broken down. Brian's wife, Mayor, only heard loud banging, immediately followed by the crash of the front door being forced open. Cummins said in the state. So his wife even comes in here and says, we heard a loud knock, and then you kicked the door in. Okay? This dude owns guns. I would do the same thing. You got to be kidding me with this. Fuck the ATF. How many more innocents had to be murdered because this guy was selling some guns to people? Oh, my God. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Why? I love this. Why is it that you as a citizen, an American citizen, you can't sell guns to other people without the government knowing about it, but the government can send weapons to Ukraine without any oversight whatsoever? Anybody? And anybody explain this, because it doesn't make sense. It makes literally zero sense to me. They can send billions to Ukraine. Unchecked, unregulated, no oversight. Send them weapons. But God help you, if you sell a few people a freaking AR-15 or a 9mm or even a 22 for that matter, you sell a few, the ATF's going to come knocking. It's like, why aren't you knocking on the Fed boys? Why are you knocking on our congressional representatives' houses? They're the ones voting for this nonsense and doing it. But me as a citizen, if I do it, oh, God help us. This is just the dumbest thing ever. Can't stand these people. Fuck this government, dude. And the ATF. The Malinowski family believes there are already known facts amplified demonstrate ATF's tactics on March 19th were reckless and incompetent and completely unnecessary. I mean, seriously, do you think if you would have knocked on this dude's door, be like, hey, man, we're here to investigate some stuff. You've been selling weapons. Be like, yeah. I was like, okay, we just need to talk to you. I guarantee this dude's not going to freaking try and light you up. He works in an airport. I imagine there's TSA approval, all kinds of things. So, like, yeah. Again, ATF, flexing, bunch of freaking bullies with guns. If they're not shooting your dogs, they're shooting you. Fuck the ATF. Fuck the Fed boys. It's ridiculous. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Good stuff. Good stuff. Did you see this DEI pilot chick meltdown?
It's one of my favorite videos.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this, prepare for greatness. Prepare for greatness. Hold on. All right. Oh my God. This is real. This actually happened. Brace yourself, folks, because you're gonna lose brain cells. Here we go. Inside okay, edition.
If you don't feel safe, get off the airplane.
But this is your captain speaking, okay. But never like this.
I'll stop, and we'll fly the airplane. Don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man. Okay?
That automatically puts me at ease.
The pilot boarded in her street clothes and addressed the passengers over the intercom. Passenger Pam O'Neill couldn't believe what was happening.
She said, let's take a vote. How many of you would like to take off now with me dressed as I am, or would you prefer that I take 10 minutes to get changed into my cute little uniform? Then she started talking about her divorce and political candidates. And the minute she mentioned that, a gentleman stood up and just yelled, whoa, enough, you're scaring me.
Another passenger, Randy Reese, got up to leave and gave a running commentary on social media. I'm shaking right now. The captain demonstrated that she was not mentally in a safe space. She says, sorry, I'm going through a divorce. The pilot also insulted a mixed-race couple on board.
Did I offend you? Okay, so did I purposely offend you? I did. The answer is yes.
The more she tried to convince everyone she was okay to fly, the more people got off.
Flight attendants, please disarm doors.
Anthony Roman is a retired pilot.
Everything went wrong on the flight. The captain clearly was in an emotional state and was having a breakdown. The right thing to do, you don't feel safe on an aircraft, is to take matters into your own hand and get up and leave that aircraft.
After 20 passengers insisted on getting off the United Airlines flight, the pilot quietly left the aircraft.
Okay, if you don't feel safe, get off the airplane.
The United Airlines flight from Austin to San Francisco was delayed about 2 hours until another pilot took over. As for the original pilot you saw there, the airline says she has been removed from her duties pending an investigation.
I'd prefer more to hear she's been fired and her license has been terminated.
Yeah, she shouldn't be allowed to fly anything.
She's mentally unfit at all. Like, matter of fact, sign her up for a firearm. What's that mean? I don't care. It's true. Can you imagine getting on a bird and then this woman goes like, I'll let my co-pilot, he's a man. I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I actually
look at this mixed couple over here.
Look at these mixed real race-changing pieces of shit. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? Yeah, you kind of did.
Okay.
But like, what like prompted this? She showed up to work late and not in her uniform and they're like, you had to go change and she had a meltdown over it? Like, what caused this?
Well, clearly her husband left her for good reasons.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's doesn't give me confidence.
Hell no. Like, imagine like getting on the plane and that woman just has this ultimate meltdown right there in front of you. And you're like, I mean, I think I'd be like, I'm getting off. Like, are you flying? Because if you're flying, I'm getting off. Like, you're nuts. Your hormones are rampant. Like, no.
Surprised more people did. Like, it took that
right?
long.
Yeah.
I would have been out like as soon as she grabbed the mic and said, no. Cute little uniform. I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. This is a DEI. This is a DEI hire right here. No, sir. I know where this ends, in the ground. No, thank you. No, thank you. Good Lord. What a, just, yeah. What a weirdo. And last, most certainly not least, the transitioner sues Catholic hospital for transgender surgery as Pope denounces gender theory. Affiliated plastic surgeon didn't tell her risks she might experience after breast removal, suit says. Vatican questions scientific coherence of gender theory, which aids ideological colonization. Oh, Jesus, with these people. As the Roman Catholic Church becomes more outspoken against the surgical removal of I forgot to cover this on the other day's show. Catholic Church came out against the transgender nonsense. It's like, well, it only took you like, what, 10 years? Good job. And you're out there like raping boys and stuff. It's like, yeah, you can't cut your weenie off because if you do, we can't suck it. Ooh, that crossed some lines, but yeah. I don't care.
They like those boys dressing up like girls.
Yes, they do. Providence Milwaukee Hospital affiliated plastic surgeon Tina Jang and her Oregon Cosmetic and Reconstructive Clinic committed a professional malpractice against Camille Kiefel by rushing her into a double mastectomy without safeguards, the detransitioner's lawsuit says. The 33-year-old who identified as non-binary from 2015 to 2022 is seeking $3.5 million in damages on the argument the defendants violated their duty of reasonable care towards her, including through false and misleading statements. Statements that Kiefel was transgender, desires chest masculinization surgery, which just means we're chopping off your tits, and has discussed viable alternatives to surgery with Jang. The surgeon did not tell her about the most troubling risk of the surgery, which is inclusion cyst on the reconstructed tissue, lack of sexual function, and the inability to breastfeed. Wait. You didn't think that chopping your boobs off would not allow you to breastfeed? Like, how does this work in your mind? Like, how does that work? You're chopping your tits off. Like, you're literally removing them. And you didn't think that that wouldn't impact breastfeeding? And you're transgender. You're not getting pregnant anytime soon. Like, you're turning your outie into an innie or an innie, whatever it is that you're doing. Oh, by the way, there's a boxer. There's a boxing match. It was a trans man. Woman turned man. Got knocked out like 23 seconds of the first round. Really? Funny how it doesn't work the opposite way, right? Funny how you put him on juice. It's not going to change the fact that you're still a woman. Beat the brakes off of her. 23 seconds TKO. Damn.
It was boxing?
Boxing. Hmm. Yeah. I'm here for it. I'd watch that. Like,
I
dude,
would watch that.
She's about to get the shit kicked out of her. Let's watch it. Mainly, not because I like seeing dudes beat women, but I like dudes beating down these women that think they're the same as men and can be better than men at physical sports like that. It's like, okay, here comes your lesson. Here it comes. Boom. And she's down for the count. I think that's hilarious. Equal rights and equal lefts. Oh my God, what a joke. Now, as far as this woman suing this hospital, two things I think should happen. Number one, her lawsuit is lost because she's an idiot. You chose to do that. You made the decision. You were a full adult. You're on your own. Two, that hospital would be shut down for committing such an abomination, an atrocity. Although I will say, you know, when you're a grown adult, yeah, I don't know. If you want to chop your tits off when you're an adult, you do what you want. I'm not going to normalize it. I think you're crazy. I'm certainly not going to support your insanity. Well, you got to be inclusive. No, the hell I don't. I don't want you in my circles. I think you trans people are wackos. But still, you know, sit there and sue the hospital. They didn't warn me. You didn't think that chopping off your boobs and then getting on these chemicals wasn't going to, like, these trans people can't have sex.
You know, I actually think this is a good thing because if...
sterilizing themselves?
Because if she sues and she wins, then you'll have, you know, more hospitals that won't be putting themselves in this type of position where they could get sued. So.
That is actually true. That's a good point. That is a good point.
So I think it's a good. I hope she wins.
We're also rewarding stupid though. Then more trans people get it. And I see what you're saying. I get the long term. I just don't like the fact that we have to overlook this piece of shit getting away with something like this for the greater good.
Know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
They know this person is crazy.
Yeah. They're getting money. It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. So I hope, you know, this woman sues and I hope she wins and I hope the more hospitals be like, we're not doing this anymore.
Not doing this. Nope. You want to turn them into zippers? That's on you.
Yeah.
But trans people can't even have sex. Did y'all know that? Like, dudes that turn into women, I don't think you can have an orgasm anymore. Because they literally turn the tip of your dick into like a clit. Well, good luck. Man. That would hurt. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting. And then these women, yeah, you don't have a dick. You got an appendage. You get some skin from your freaking, your wrist that looks like flaccid dick. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Like, you can't even pee out of it.
Frankenweiner. That's what it looks like.
All I saw was like stitch marks around like the shaft and like two bolts coming out of its neck. It's afraid of fire. yeast infection not going in there. Oh, Frankenweenie. Oh my God. That's an actual movie, isn't it? Frankenweenie the dog?
Is it?
Yeah, Frankenweenie. Oh my God. That's the greatest thing ever. It's just like, Frankenstein dick. It's like, it's just nasty.
Afraid of fire.
Flesh slug. Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. And the parents that advocate for this nonsense, like, what's wrong with you? You deserve to get dragged. You deserve every bad thing that happens to you, you freaks. It's nuts. And I'm sitting here tired of pretending we got to be nice to these people. We got to accept them. No, the fuck we don't. We don't have to do a damn thing. The majority rule of society does not dictate how culture goes. There's counterculture, which can become normal culture itself. And what it's kind of funny, though, because like being trans was counterculture. Now it's not. Now it's not. It's just disgusting. It's weird. Yeah, but you want to sue the house because you didn't know, or the hospital because you didn't know. Yes, you did.
Did you ever have a Blair White on your drunken debates?
Mm-mm. No. Nope. Ugh, fuck pronoun. I agree. All right, folks. Well, that does it for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show podcast. I'm going to leave you with some chants. Go to shellshockcbd.com. Why? Because, I mean, you got to be high to survive this administration, all the nonsense that's coming out from the DNC wackos. So go to check out shellshockcbd.com. We have an amazing bath salts. If you're in Florida, don't eat them. Please don't eat them. But no, they're actually really good. Amazing for the skin. Amazing for inflammation. DOMS. Wonderful product. So until actually Thursday, because again, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to go pick up the bees, get them all set up, take some classes because I don't want to screw this up and then lose like 40,000 bees. That would
Welcome
not be
Welcome to John's Concentration Camp.
That's going to be the new farm name, where chickens come to die. And not for plates. They just die prematurely because he's a shit chicken tender. Hey-o, got it. All right, folks, until Thursday, give me an Abba, man.
You guys have a great night.
And as always, rest in peace, chickens.